In our new series, Encounters with Jesus, we're looking at people's stories from John's Passion account, which is chapters 11 to 20. Last week, we heard the story of the high priest Caiaphas. He was so threatened by Jesus that he sanctioned his execution. Today, we will hear from Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Mary is happy to be at Jesus' feet. For example, in Luke 10, while Martha is preparing the meal, Mary is at Jesus' feet and listening to his every word. In John 11, she falls at his feet to express her disappointment that Jesus did not come in time to prevent her brother Lazarus from dying. And in today's reading, she is again at the feet of Jesus. So today's reading is from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to keep himself what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have you ever been in the presence of someone whose very words are your food and drink? You savour every moment and drink them in. They nourish your hungry soul and satisfy your deep thirst in a way that you didn't even realise you needed. That's how I felt as I knelt at Jesus' feet. Time stood still as I was enveloped in those moments. Perhaps I was vaguely aware of Martha banging around as she prepared food for our honoured guest and her not-so-subtle murmurings and groans, but not really. All that faded into the distant background. He had a way of making things uncomplicated. His stories, his love, they filtered quickly through my mind and made their way straight to my heart, where they settled, took root, and began to grow. My heart actually felt larger in his presence, swelling up as it was filled with his love until I thought it would burst. Sometimes I shared my gratitude for Jesus in front of everyone. Sometimes it came out in a hold your breath kind of a whisper. Sometimes my eyes just filled with tears as I gazed upon him. He returned my look in a kind, unspoken way that showed me he understood how much I treasured him. Martha often remarked how I would sing praises to him and even dance around a little as I did my chores in the days following his visits. I often wondered what it would be like to be in his presence all the time, to get to follow him around the country as one of his disciples. But this one time, it was a week before his death and resurrection, of course, although we didn't know it at the time. Jesus and his disciples had come to visit us at Bethany. While there was a heavy sense of foreboding outside the walls of the household, inside we gathered in relative safety with the one who brought peace and love. Over a meal we shared stories of my brother Lazarus's recent brush with death and the range of emotions that accompanied it. Now, you may wonder whether my brother's sickness and death challenged my devotion to Jesus. Part of love's devotion is being able to ask difficult questions and know that you are safe. Of course, after the turmoil, Jesus had the final miraculous say. Anyway, we ate and drank and shared stories of Jesus' travels and the ways he connected with people's deepest needs. The stories of when we all met Jesus for the first time and the ways he had impacted our lives since. It was somewhere then, in between the food and the fellowship, that it all poured out, literally. I silently slipped away to bring in the pure nard. I had been saving this for Jesus, for a time that I hoped would be far off in the future. A tiny portion had been used for my brother's recent burial. My hands trembled. Right then I knew this gift, this gesture, was for a time such as this. Once again, I knelt at his feet, and my heart poured out in love, gratitude, and worship. Yes, it was expensive, extravagant even. But in comparison to the one I was devoted to, it was nothing. He was worth so much more. My offering cascaded over his travel-worn feet, and then I dried them with my hair. The distinct perfume floated out, touching everything. Everyone breathed it in. Initially, there was silence. Fragrance filled the air where moments before words had been. I looked up and found his gentle eyes meeting mine. He saw my heart and understood. I was vaguely aware of someone protesting about my wasteful use of such a costly commodity. Jesus responded, never removing his eyes from mine. Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. He knew. A little over a week later, we all knew too. I have no regrets. His words breathed life into me, and even now my adoration spills out. One time it smelled of fragrant nard, but most times it is songs of praise. Sometimes it is when tears fill my eyes as I silently behold a star-filled night sky or a radiant sunset, knowing and giving thanks to the one behind it all. He perceives my worship in all its forms. How do you respond to him?
We've got some discussion, reflection questions to follow. They'll be up on the screen now. So, taking a leaf out of Mary's book, what are the different ways you respond to Jesus? Number two, Jesus criticizes Mary's action. Judas, I should say. Jesus commends her. What stifles your worship? What encourages your worship? And the third one is, how can Mary's act of extravagant worship inspire us in our devotion to the King and his cause? And for that one, think connection vertically to God and to others as well. I encourage you to chat amongst yourselves these reflection questions, and if somebody's sitting by themselves, maybe go and let them join in your conversation too.